Okay. Maybe you can be quick.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. So again, Greg Jenkinson representing UGT out of Germany. Seth could not make it here, but myself and my colleague were fortunate enough to come see him at his place of business in Berlin and Freising, Germany. And we saw a number of installations. Today we're going to talk about controlling the lysimeters that UGT develops, researched through the brain trust of their scientists and engineers. Not only do they design and develop, but they manufacture and install these lysimeters, which in the presentation you'll see why that might be important. They were founded in 1992 and have shared with us a number of lessons learned, which is what I'm going to present to you today. As far as lysimeters are concerned, lysis coming from the Greek, right, to leach, to remove, to give off. We're measuring water. We're measuring precipitation, runoff, seepage, and then, of course, evapotranspiration. The applications are listed here. There's many others. Just to share with you briefly, we, in Freising, not only did we see the fine Weinstephan monastery and brewery, but we saw a huge forest installation of lysimeters where they are measuring sap flow, tree girth, and they're actually manipulating the precipitation to basically give a drought effect to two species of trees in a forest plot. They're obviously using their own lysimeters, working with the University of Munich to see what level of competition between these two species of trees takes place, if any, during drought. So we have a number of shapes and sizes of lysimeters, from small ready-to-go units, which have above-ground data loggers, to larger installations, which could house up to four units in a single subterranean installation. The picture here shows a two-column, two-monolith lysimeter, which is accessible via a ladder to get to the data acquisition equipment. Here I'll make note that the soil column that is cut, it's not, you know, the cylinders are not jammed into the earth, which, as some of you may know, could present problems when it comes to soil compacting. UGT has installation equipment that's portable, lightweight, that actually cuts the cylinder for which the PE vessel or the stainless steel vessel would then be lowered into. So preventing soil compacting has been important for some of our customers, and we have the knowledge and the equipment to avoid that. The second bullet point here, boundary conditions. So not just soil compacting, but you know, temperature gradients and water pressure are key things that we want to control as well, if need be. Our weighing system at the bottom of each cut monolith is a load triangle with load cells, and that load monitor is accurate to 10 grams if you need it. Of course, you know, 10 grams may seem like precision that's unnecessary, but when you're talking about frost and dew in the morning versus a millimeter of rainfall, that is going to make a difference, and you're going to want to see where that water is coming from and where it's going. The lower boundary of the lysimeter of the column, we have or can have pressure tension control done through ceramic cups. And you can both measure and manipulate the water pressure, the water tension of the lysimeter to either equal that of the surrounding soil or to come up with your own scenarios and applications through manipulation of that. This is an above-ground view of a four-column lysimeter with ladder in the middle here. So it serves a few things. One, to show you what it looks like from above, but also to share with you that we've done a lot of research over the years to see how different materials of the lysimeter may affect or may not affect your measurements. So we've done stainless steel with insulation, high-density polyethylene, etc., in both controlled and uncontrolled environments to see and to share with you, well, if you don't control it, how much of a delta in temperature and temperature gradient or in pressure are you going to see between your lysimeter soil, your monolith, and the surrounding soil. So I'll spend a little bit of time on that. One thing that we saw in the controlled versus the uncontrolled lysimeters is that the outflow of water annually was not any different. But what was different in the controlled versus the uncontrolled lysimeter was the timing of that outflow and the amplitude of that outflow. So an example of that would be after a long winter, the controlled lysimeter, the temperature-controlled, pressure-controlled lysimeter, had an outflow of a greater amplitude at a later date. Keep in mind we're taking measurements that are not just daily, but you know, to your specification, hourly, it could be as short as 1 minute. So in short, as far as the outflow, you know, annually, again, no difference between controlled and uncontrolled, but what was different was the timing of that outflow of water and the amplitude at that given point in time. This research was done with our lysimeters that are 1.7 meters or longer. The second piece that I'll share with you is how we take care of the soil temperature. Now, there's two things that we've learned that could be an issue for you. One is, of course, the temperature gradient from top to bottom. But another one with lysimeters, depending on the materials that you use, is the horizontal temperature gradient from the edge of the lysimeter to the center, to the core. Okay, so we'll talk about those briefly. So this is just kind of going through what we hit already. We make sure that we don't disturb the soil if that's what you're looking for through our silo cutters. The vegetation, I didn't cover this, but vegetation, same inside or outside or to whatever your application is to represent the evapotranspiration that's specific to your application. Climate condition here, we're not talking about winter, summer, spring, or fall. We're talking about the landscape. So is the lysimeter in a plains, flatland area, or is it hillside? And we have installations that meet both needs. And then we talked about the hydrological conditions and how we control that. Temperature gradient in the soil, up until recently, we didn't have a solution. So we have had stainless steel, but we noted that created hot spots in the periphery of the silo. Insulating that mitigated that issue. For vertical temperature gradient, to make sure that it's equal to the surrounding soil, we use a heat exchanger at the bottom of the lysimeter. Okay, so whatever the temperature is outside the lysimeter is equal to that. And the atmospheric temperature takes care of the rest, creating that natural gradient from bottom to top. So that's how we control vertical temperature. And that's what I just explained. Just to see how much of a difference, and this difference may not be meaningful to you, but to some of you who are looking at microbiological organisms, earthworms, bacteria, fungus, etc., a difference of 1 to 2 degrees is going to make a difference for you. And if that's the case, you're going to want to know. So what we did is we shut off the pump for the heat exchange to see what kind of blips would come up. And everywhere you see a red arrow is where you see the delta between the surrounding soil temperature and the temperature of the controlled lysimeter. And then turning it off creates a delta of, oh, it looks like in most cases 1 degree to a degree and a half. Okay, so that validates the difference, and if that difference is enough for you, then you want a controlled lysimeter. I don't think we'll have time for this one. So in short, the results, stainless steel is a good use of material, especially when you're talking about rocky landscapes for which you need something of that durability. But keep in mind, insulation is important if you want a controlled environment that's equal, that's congruent to your surrounding soil. And then, of course, we talked about the lower soil and how we maintain those temperatures. So with that, I'll thank you, and we'll hopefully Sasha can come back next time, and if you have any further questions, we'll be at the Parcaro booth.
Okay, thank you.